Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. On the back of the bulletin, a little bit different than normal, we have some fill-in-the-blanks there from today's message, and don't normally do this. It's more something we do on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Well, I thought maybe you'd like to just fill in those blanks there at the back page of the bulletin. Topic of our lesson today is deliverance. Deliverance from the slave pit of sin unto lively stones. And this, of course, is done by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is purchased through his shed blood. We cannot work our way to heaven. We do good works to honor our Lord. But we only do good works because we know Christ is our Savior. For our Lord paid the price to get us out of the slave pit of sin. This past Christmas, Dan and Laura Jones gave us some gift cards. And one of them was to Golden Corral. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't get a better pot roast than at the Golden Corral. And I tell you what, I don't care what else they have there. The best thing they have is that pot roast. But, you know, we went and enjoyed it. But Dan and Laura paid the price. They weren't there with us. They weren't there to pay it because they had already paid the price. Thank you very much. You know, Christ paid the price. We weren't at the cross physically, but there was a need. And he paid that price so that we can be lively stones. There in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, and if you would, let us stand together in honor of the Lord's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 23. And we will go into chapter 2. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity to look into the Scriptures. Lord, may we be encouraged to be lively stones. May we not hide ourselves away, but Lord, may we shine for thee. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. 7 points. Some people like to know where I am in the sermon so they can get excited when I'm about done. As believers, we have deliverance first from the curse of bondage. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5 from the curse. Galatians chapter 5. appreciate those that turn to the scriptures as we read. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The curse. Guilty. What makes us guilty? Sin. How do we know what sin is? Well, it begins with the Ten Commandments. There are those things that we are not to do. Is it any wonder in today's society we want to remove the Ten Commandments from our schools and from our courts and from the public square? Because we don't want to be reminded that we are guilty. Because we want to believe that everything is fine, you're okay and I'm okay. But there is the curse of bondage. May I say this, that religion can be a curse. See, there are those who are very religious, but they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are those who know about God, but they don't know God. And how sad it is that they will stand before the God of the universe on judgment day and they'll say, well, I worship you. And he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Religion will not get us into heaven. And it becomes a curse to those who are relying on their religion to get into heaven. Being a Baptist will not get you into heaven. But knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that will get you into heaven. There are those who attend work-based teachings, and they believe if I work long enough and hard enough, God's got to let me in the door. No, he doesn't have to let you in the door if you're not covered by the blood. There is so much hopelessness in today's society. Suicides are at an all-time high. We find that there are those who are constantly finding ways of trying to fill the void that only God can fill. And they have hopelessness. Number two, there's deliverance from the condemnation of sin. The Ten Commandments tells us that we are sinners. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. If we could just simply keep commandment number 1 and commandment number 10 of the Ten Commandments, we'd probably keep the other 8. But since we covet, we break number 10, and everything else comes tumbling down. And of course, we don't put the Lord Jehovah as number 1 in our life. We have other gods, and today's society is filled with other gods. And it says in Romans chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say those who are religious. It doesn't say those who are Americans. It doesn't say those who are really smart or really rich. No, it says those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Christ came that we could have eternal life. So there is deliverance from the bondage, but also the condemnation of sin. And no one can lay any charge against us, for we have been freed from the penalty of sin. On judgment day, Satan will try to say, well, you know this guy over here, and let's use someone as an example. Who wants to volunteer? I'll volunteer. Okay. And the devil is going to say about Paul, you know, he lied. Do you think I ever lie? Some of you are afraid to say it. Go ahead, say it. Yes. Do you ever think that I have speeded down Canal? Is that right? Speeded?
I've sped. I've broken the law, okay? Do you ever think I've gone down Canal Road a little fast? You were very quick to say yes on that. Do you think I've ever rolled through a stop sign? Yeah, probably at least once. Twice? Okay, I'll go for twice. Do you ever think I have bad thoughts? Donna has these three dogs. You should have seen them, the bad thoughts flowing through my mind the other day. I tried to get Travis to take one of them home. You said that when he becomes an adult, he could have one. And I said, why wait? But we all have bad thoughts, don't we? Any of you never have a bad thought? You never think poorly? No, we're all sinners. And then Satan's going to say that. He's going to say, you know, there was that Sunday morning he didn't want to go to church. You say, Pastor Paul, don't you always want to go to church? Are you kidding me? There are some Sundays I don't want to go. There are some Sundays you don't want to go, right? Praise God you come. And I'm always glad that I came. Okay? Now you say, Pastor Paul, what else? Give us the good stuff. No. No. But Satan's going to say that. He's going to accuse me on Judgment Day. And Jesus is going to come over and say, but I paid the price. He's covered by the blood. We need to make sure that we're covered by the blood. Because on Judgment Day, God the Father is only going to look to see if we're covered by the blood. Number three, deliverance from the servitude of sin. The servitude. Romans chapter 6, just over a page, verse 18. Servitude, confinement, subjection, slavery. Notice it says in verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We serve sin. Folks, we're in a battle day by day. Can I ask you this? Can Satan make you do wrong? He can't make you, but he can sure tempt you. He can make it look so delicious and so good. He can make you do that. He will make you want to do it, but he cannot make you do it. We have all kinds of so-called addictions today. Alcoholism, drug abuse, gambling, pornography, immorality. We titled it. The sin is sin. God has forgiven us our sins. But we are to desire to do that which is right. We are delivered from servitude. Number four, deliverance from the evil of the world. Galatians chapter 1. I know what you're saying. You were in Galatians before. Why didn't you just take care of it then? Just to make you ask questions. Because we'll be coming back to Galatians again with number 7. But deliverance from the evil of this world. Verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Let me say this. If we could work our way to heaven, would Jesus Christ have needed to die for us? No. There would have been no reason for him to die. He didn't do the job partway. He did the job all the way. All of it. How many of you have started a project, and I don't want to get any of you guys in trouble, but how many of you have begun a project at the house, in the yard, on your car, and it's half done? The rest of you don't have a half-done project at your house? Will you come to my house and help me? You know, you started out and you thought, wow, this is going to be great. And then you found out it cost more than you thought, and it wasn't as easy as it looked like on television. Of course, on television, they didn't tell you that they messed up the first six times. They just show you the seventh time when they got it right. Jesus Christ took care of all of it. He didn't say, well, I got half of it done, but you've got to finish the rest. No, he took care of all that was necessary for our salvation. And because of that, we'll have deliverance from the evil of this world. Would you say this world has evil in it? And it's not just people like Hitler who lived many years ago. We find that there are evil people even today, even in the United States of America, even in the state of Michigan, even in Sterling Heights, Michigan. And it could be even within the Covenant Baptist Church today. But we are delivered from the evil of this world. Number five, are you getting excited? I'm on number five. Deliverance from the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, from darkness. We'll begin reading at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, what? In light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. Redemption is fully and truly through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, the power of darkness. Is the darkness growing in our world today? I pondered this thought this morning as I walked around the auditorium this morning going over my notes. You know, I do some of my best preaching when nobody's here. And I walk around the auditorium. You'd be amazed at what I'm free to say when no one's here. And I write some of those thoughts down, and I wrote down this. So many Christians are now just believers. See, you can be a born-again believer and not be a Christian. Do you understand that? We use the word Christian too freely. Not everyone that is a born-again believer is a Christian. How are we a Christian? If we're Christ-like. If we act like Christ. You know, when they were first called Christians, it was a derogatory thought. Christ had what? He'd been crucified. He looked guilty to the world. And they said, you want to be like him? He was crucified. You're nothing but a Christian. They used it in a derogatory sense. But the problem is that too many Christians are now just believers. And they have turned off their light, or they've hidden it under the bushel. Folks, we need our lights to shine for Christ. Do those men you work with know that you're a believer? Do those ladies you work with know that you're a believer? Or where you go to school, or in your subdivision, or in your family, do they know that you're a Bible-believing Christian? Or would they have to guess? But they have to guess. The fact of the matter is, we need to be lights for Christ. And we have deliverance from the power of darkness. Satan has blinded the eyes of those who don't want to see, and there's darkness. Number six, we have deliverance from the fear of death. Hebrews, if you would, please. Chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. How many of you believe there are worse things than death? Do you know that there are worse things than death? And sometimes it's life. Sometimes it's life. man told me the other day, he says, I found out my son is into pornography. He's burdened. There's worse things than death. We find that society is headstrong over entertainment, and we have thrown responsibilities out the door. We have a society full of losers because all they care about is entertainment and having a good time. But death, I would dare say that there's many of us in this room right now, if we didn't have to suffer, we wouldn't mind dying. But there are times that we just think, I am just tired of this because I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid. You know, the fact of the matter is, Christ has already died for me. Hebrews chapter 2, let's begin reading at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, and deliver them from the fear of death. We that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know there's a better place for us. Funeral directors will tell you they can tell a difference in the funeral of a believer and of a non-believer. They can tell you there is a different attitude for those who know that the person in the casket has gone to a better place. That's why the death of a Christian is actually a celebration, because they've gone to a better place. Which leads us to number 7, deliverance from self to serve our living Savior. Galatians chapter 2. Self. Would you say that self gets in the way? How about selfishness? I've told you before that there's only one reason for divorce. It's called selfishness. I want this, I want that. I don't care what you want. Selfishness. Does self get in the way of your serving the Lord? I'd rather please myself than the Lord. You think the Lord wants us to be faithful to him? Yes? Do you think the Lord wants us to be used of him? Do you? Yes, I believe he wants us to be usable. But self gets in the way. Self. And if we can get rid of self, we'd be better off. We'd be better off. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, if you would, please. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To remove self. Two questions. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Did you come to that point in your life where you said, I am a sinner, and if I do not take care of things right now, if I die, I'll go to hell? Number two, did you then said, I need a Savior, and I realize that the only Savior is Jesus Christ? And number three, did you accept Him as your Lord and Savior? And if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, is He your leader and guide? And are we following close behind Him? Shall we stand together? 403, our invitation song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Hear My Humble Cry. There's no better time to get things right with the Lord than right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now at this invitation time that the Spirit would move, that hearts would be made right, that Your name would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.